Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat doors open right now. All are welcome into the doors of the Shabbat. It is open right now. Prayfully, make sure get the sun down. Prayfully, we all take refuge inside it and come and dine with Abba Yah. Come and lay down our burdens, lay down anything that the cares of this world. 24 hours and bask in the glory of Abba Yah. Hallelujah. 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 I just love that song. It does something to my soul. It just moves it, moves it. Sweep over my soul. I love it. I love it. Move me. Be jamming, be rocking, be ready. Here we go again at Kol Elohim, bringing you Iblis Culture in Baltimore, Maryland, coming out of the congregation of Beth Yahweh. I'm your brother, Ariel. Once again, with another journey into part two. But before I get into that, let me do the benediction and get the opening prayer before I get to rambling my mouth and going on into things. Let's give honor to Abiyasri. Amen. Hallelujah for opening up the Shabbat doors for us, Abba. Father, we thank you for allowing us to get to the Shabbat door, Abba. For those who are trying to make it and get home, Father, and finish up their business, Father, that you give them traveling mercy, Father, that you watch them till they get home, till they can settle down and rest in your glory, Father, and relax, take off their shoes, do whatever they have to do to take this world off, Father, and just bask in your glory, Father. Father, we ask you that you keep us, Father, that you guide us, Father, that you continue to watch over us, Father, that in all our doings, Father, that we do for you, Father, that our will be aligned with your will, Father, and when our will go outside of your will to the left or to the right, Father, that your loving commitment, your loving kindness brings us back, Father. That as David said, we'd rather be punished by you than man, Father. Father, if we know with you, there is mercy, Father, there is grace, Father. Father, y'all ask and pray for those in the congregation and outside of the congregation, Father, and the nation of Yisrael, Father, and the household of Beth Yahweh, Father, y'all, that those are ailing in any type of way, Father, that you touch them, Father, that you heal them, Father. Those who are struggling, Father, with anything, Father, that you show them your strength, Father, that you allow them to understand that they have a toolbox, Father, as we have learned this past Bible study, Father, when you was in the midst, Father, you gave us that thought, Father, about a toolbox, Father. And inside of that toolbox is everything we need, Father. And the toolbox is your Ruach, Father, is your spirit, your Holy Spirit, Father. And we are able to grab on anything that we need, Father. That is the toolbox, family. His spirit, his Holy Spirit, Father. And we know those who have took that dip, Father, who have been raised within your Son, Father, they have that spirit, Father. Just remind us, Father, when we get weak, Father. Remind us, Father, when this world overcomes, Father, that we have your spirit, that we are overcomers, Father. We can do all things through your Son, Yahushua, who strengthened us, Father. Father, we ask and pray that you be with us tonight, Father, that you be with the Moray tomorrow, Father, brother, Harvell, Father, and the Moray that comes on after him, Father, that you keep us, Father, and keep those who have an ear for your word, Father, those who want to hear your word, Father, that you keep us. In your holy and precious Son name we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, family. Once again, Shabbat Shalom. I'm your brother, Avi. I'm going to close this thing. It's cooking up in here. I got to close that. This is cooking. Hot. Here we go again, family. Somebody shoot me out of text, or if I ain't got a text sound, I don't sound good. That's good, too. But if you can, shoot me a text. Let me know that I'm sounding good and y'all can hear me clear. But had a nice week, had a very interesting week, and again had some experiences in this week, some ebb and flows of life, but won't get into that as much. I do got a testimony that I want to give out. Toda, toda. And the testimony is not even my testimony. It's a broad testimony, you know, about a young, one of our young sisters in the congregation, twin, the youngest twins. We have two sets of twins in our congregation, our Sister Malka and Sister Dion, and happy belated born day to y'all, and Yahweh continue to bless y'all and keep y'all, you know. Also, we have a younger set of twins, Toda Aki, Toda, younger set of twins, and Bond her testimony, twins. She worked at University with us, and I asked her, I forgot what day it was, one of these days this week, maybe Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday. I asked her how she was, because I didn't really see her Tuesday. And I didn't get a chance to get around to the cafeteria, I believe. And she said, I was going through, bro. I was going through, and everything was going upside down was for me. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is the gist of what she said. And I said, well, hold on, sis. You got four priests down the hospital. Four priests. Brother Mario, Brother Ariel, Brother Harbel, and Brother Yariel. And I said, you need not to be going through when you got four priests down here that can stand and pray with you and talk to you in any way they can. He said, oh, no, bro. Oh, yeah, I did. I talked to Brother Yariel because he asked the same question, how was I doing? And I told him what I was doing and what I was going through and how I wasn't feeling well and I was just down. And she said, Brother Yariel, he stuck his hands out in like a cup, right, to her. And he said, give it to me, sis. And she said, she put her hands in his as she gave it to him. And she said, she dropped a tear because it touched her. Because actually, she really gave it to him. Because he acts. He stood in that gap. He was that priest. He was what she needed at that moment. And that was a great testimony that Yahweh. You have these priests and allow them to do their job. That's what she needed. Harbell, we got a chance to talk about the good things that Yahweh did through Brother Yariel. And he said, you know what she got? She got a miracle of healing. We were looking for somebody to come in and the miracle of stand up, start walking. No, some miracles come just like that when you give it to Yahweh. And at that moment, he stood in the presence of Yahweh. Give it to me. And she wholeheartedly gave it to me. If you know how I could talk, oh, brother, I felt so good. I wanted to cry when I just gave it to him because I felt it leave me. I felt whatever it was come off me. But give it to me. Stood in the gap. And the Bible says give honor where honor is due. So we all got to do. You don't have to go through these things alone. All around you. Sisters all around you. All are saying to me, perform that miracle for you. Stop looking out there in the hemispheres wanting these miracles when Abba Yah can perform miracles for us each and every day. If we allow him to, that was a miracle of healing. Whatever it was, he took it. But she had the nerve. She had the wherewithal to give it to him. Pride didn't step in the way. Self or whatever she believes she is didn't step in the way, and that's what happens with us. We step in the way of giving things to Yahweh. step in the way. Have this foolish thing we call pride and who we believe we are in the images that we have put out there. Got to get out the way and give it to Yahweh. Not because you ask not. Ask a myth. Right. Order for a reason. Reason why a priest shouldn't be called or is not being called to come lay hands on. That's if you believe what the word says. Hold it together and let them lay hands on you. Because you're not doing what the scriptures say do. Wait. That order that he set up. Run after it. Old adversary to whisper in your ear and say, you know what, I can read, I can pray, I can do that. Yes, you can. We all can. Change. In over 5,000 years, it have not changed. I don't care how much man learned. I don't care how much technology they put out there, how many Bible apps they get, how many ways they write it. Will not change. Will not. It cannot. It is a transmission. You want to be healed? You want to be set free of the things that bog you down? Speak Yahweh in the order that he said. Hands open, saying, give it to me. Charge over you. That's what the scripture says. Trust me, priests' lives is bogged down too. Priests' lives is we going through stuff too. We had a great powwow meeting this past week. And open up. Over left and just open up. Us as well. The priest. Strength as well. We need the love and the compassion of Yah as well. We give the love and compassion and the empathy as well. A body. It's a body. And not one member isn't less important. All members of the body are important. It needs one another to work. One hand can't look at the other hand and say, well, you cut your own nail. No, the other hand got to cut the other hand nail. That's how it's done. The toenails, the hands got to go down there and help the toenails because they might be overgrown. Part of the body you believe Yahweh has you in. Just do it. Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. But with that, pray for one another. Pray for one another because we all need one another. We all need one another. Told everybody. We all need it. But I love that. To me, that was a beautiful thing. As soon as she told me, I said, you know I'm going to talk about y'all this weekend. Told Brother Yariel too. You know I'm going to talk about y'all. Because we, as a family, we need to hear these type of testimonies. Because maybe someone else may be wanting to give it to the priest. Give it up. In this burden alone. Don't have to. We're going to do a quick recap of not the whole thing, family, because the thing that Abba had me to go through, remember we talked about last week, was four things we was going to go through last week, four things. And I was sitting there wondering to myself, and I believe I told y'all, was hold up, Abba, I'm going to go through all that within 6 weeks. And I didn't even know which one I was going to go into next. And you didn't, y'all, if you remember, the title of this six-week journey that we on is ARD, and that is an acronym for Oppositional Defiant Disorder. That is Oppositional Defiant Disorder, which all mankind has. All men. In one way or another, we are oppositional to Abba Yah. We are oppositional to him. You know, and the first one that we had talked about was understanding the human condition, and that falls under oppositional defiant disorder. Second one that he gave me was masculine energy and feminine energy. We talked about that last week. What the third one was, what is demon possession? What is it? How does that work in our lives? You know, and the fourth one was, can the solar system, the sun, moon, and star, affect human behavior? Can those things out there affect our behavior? And had a great conversation with two brothers that we'll be getting into that will be leading that class. I'm going to turn it over to them, Abba Yah willing. The brother Ivy and brother Matthias, we get together and talk. When who knows when that will come out and which way Abba gonna go next? I don't know. We might be in this one for a while. The thoughts that he was giving me with this in understanding the human condition, and always you gotta ask the question, why we need to understand that. And we have talked about this in a multitude of ways. He just keeps giving us the same lessons over and over in a multitude of ways. Why? Because repetition, that's how we learn, repetition, over and over. Maybe they don't get it this way, they'll get it that way. And that shows the love that Abba has for us. That shows his love. You know, is no different than any parent, any caretaker, wanting that child to get it. So they try every way before they give up on that child, every way before they give up on their loved ones, so they can get it, they can understand it. You know, maybe if I say it this way, they'll hear it this time. Maybe he'll hear it this time if he has to go through it this way, you know. And if you ask me, that's just the love of Yahweh. That's the love that he has for us, you know. He loves us. He loves us so much. And there's no, not too many ways you can say that. If you ever love something or anybody, you ever known someone to love you, multiply that by a million. Multiply it by a million. That's how much he loves us. You know, and sometimes we as his children, we as his friends in some cases, we test that love. we test that love. You think we test each other love? Oh, ain't nothing like we testing Abba's love and Abba's patience. You know, that came out too this past weekend. That I was thinking, y'all just spoiled brats. Y'all spoiled. And you know, we as believers, we spoiled. We spoiled. We spoiled brats. You know, it's no different than having that billionaire or gazillionaire, whatever you want as a father, and you want everything. No disappointments in your life. But a great father know that you have to have disappointments. A great father know that you have to fall every now and then. Because you never know how to fall. How you know how to get up? If you never know how to get out of something that you got yourself into, how you know how to get up? He don't allow these unclean spirits to latch on to us. How we know how to recognize them? Even in other people. If he don't allow them things to that we can't overcome just like that easy. How we know when to keep fighting and not give up? You know, and just with that one alone, the scripture came to mind about the apostles when they asked the Messiah about the little boy that was filled with an unclean spirit in the prophet. He was it. Yahushua just said, hey, come up out of there. In the Lamb's Book of Life, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, couldn't do it. And I'm going to say those two things again. In the Lamb's Book of Life, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, they just could not go to this unclean spirit that was in housed in this void and say, come up out of there. In the Yahushua, use the name. Somebody text on in, come on in and let me know if I'm thinking wrong. But if the master said this, you just ain't going to be able to say my name. Some come out by fasting and praying. You got to put some work in on this one. It ain't going to be just that easy. You got to work with this one. You got to work. And we all can go to that mirror. We can look in that mirror, and we can ask, which one are we working on? Because we know our own lives. This ain't lessons. This ain't teachings where we sitting up there and we looking at everybody else's life. We gotta look at our own life. So this is why we going through this, to clean our own souls up, train it. And guess what? Abba sees it all. Abba Yahushua sees it all that you go through. You see it all. And like that spoiled child, we want him to jump in and take it over. Take over. But if you do that, what we learn? Strong have we gotten? How much faith have we built? You know, it's no different than that mother, father, whoever it is, teaching that baby to walk. They let him go. At one point, you have to let that baby go and let that baby walk. And that baby going to wobble, wobble, and it might fall down. But you're right there to pick it back up. But then, in some cases, that baby roll over on her hands and her knees, pull up on something, and get back up. And the more you fall, stronger they get. That. What spiritual lesson is he telling us in that? He right there. Climb back up. You know how to get back up. Keep getting you up. You haven't. You haven't built faith. He has given us that ability, that toolbox, the Holy Spirit, to get ourselves up. Remember a story read by Gershon Ben Daniel told me a long time ago about this young man, or it was about him, matter of fact, that he would be out there doing the ministry and doing his evangelizing, and he would come home, he would be so overwhelmed and unknown to himself, he had so many demons on him, so many unclean spirits, because he was dealing with people all day long in the ministry and ministering to them, and things jump on us. And at the end of the day, he feels so heavy, so bogged down. He will go to his spiritual leader, and his spiritual leader say, look, I can't keep praying for you. I can't keep getting these things up off you. You got to learn how to get these things off of you. might not be here tomorrow. You're going to have to learn that. How to pray for yourself. How to get up when you fall. You can jump in that fight with you. That's why scriptures say, one will chase 1,000, two 10,000. But Abba Yah wait for us to get up. And what we talked about earlier, our coach, he tagged that priest in. He tagged him, and I'm going through. You know what? Give it to me. That's fighting. That's getting up. Let me help you. Let me get in that fight with you. But believe it or not, it's been said a million times, and it will not change. We are in spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. It will not change. And the more that we can keep that at the forefront of our minds, what we are in, the better off we will be. The better off we will be. Amen? Amen. So, we're going to just go a little recap on art and just a little recap on them. Because we'll be coming out of the DSM. I don't know how many weeks we'll be coming out of the DSM, and we'll be looking up certain disorders that man has. And it's so funny that all these disorders is right in the scripture. All scientists doing is going in the Word. Going in the Word, and they read, and then they putting it in man's mouth. That's all. All is oppositional, defiant disorder. All it is, the carnal mind, is enmity against Yah. That's it. It all is saying we all are sinners, transgressors of the Torah, sinned and falling short. That's all it's saying. But because they want to use it, we're going to use it too. And we're going to show you how they done stole it from Abba Yah. We're going to give it back to Abba Yah. Let me find this article. I'm not going to read all of it, family. Just little bits and pieces of it. Because we got another one that we want to get in before we get there. Just bits and pieces of art. That's all. Not all of it. And this is art. It says, what is art? Again, you can text me and I can send it, or you can go to Google and Google it yourself. It is a behavior disorder in which a child displays a pattern of an angry or cranky mood, defiant, combative behavior, vindictiveness, people in authority. The child's behavior often disrupts their daily routine, including activities within the family and school. It is not unusual for children, especially those in the terrible twos and early teens, to defy authority every now and then. They may express their defiance by arguing, disobeying, or talking back other adults. When the behavior lasts longer than 6 months and is more extreme than what is usual for the child age, it may mean that the child has ODD. Hey, come on now. Come on. Y'all hear that? If it lasts more than 6 months and unusual for the child age, the child may have ODD. Come on. What we just read? The carnal mind is enmity against Yah. And what is the thing of this behavior? You know, defiant. You want to be defiant to someone in authority. And remember that part right there. Let's not lose sight of that part. And who is humanity defiant toward? Another. Defiant to Yah. Adam, you know what? You can eat of every tree. But that tree down there, don't eat of it. And let your wife know, too. You know what? that old serpent came and deceived Adam. Adam said, and deceived Eve. And Eve said, you know what? I think I may eat that. I know what the prohibition is. I know he said don't eat it. But you know what? I might get me a little bite of that, and it may be all right. And I'm giving me a bite to my husband. And he know that he wasn't supposed to eat that. So from the beginning, oppositional defined disorder started way back in the garden. And it's still going on now. Who is the authority? The authority that mankind is in defiance with. And we see it more and more today. More and more today. But for those who have took that dip, those who have been baptized in the name of Yahushua, those are the ones that he paid close attention to. Those are the ones that he looked at times with, oh, man. No, look what they're doing down there. Remember a long time ago, Rabbi told us how each one of us have angels and they report back. And some have to report back with a sad report. Because I wouldn't say bad. It would be a sad report. You know what, Father? The child down there that took that dip. They didn't act right today. They were more defiant than usual. But you always have to come back with this. Abba Yah is always, his hand is always out. Always out for us. Let me help him anyway. I see what he's going through. I see it. You know what? I'm going to use that for my benefit. Yeah, he been hard-headed. You know, he ate that fruit, but that's all right. That's good. He's going to wish he didn't. He's going to realize he was in a palace. Now he got to get out there and work. He got to get out there and fend for himself. He got to be covered in clothes with though he didn't understand or have no idea what clothes was. I'm going to use that for every day with our lives. Every time we think we doing something in disobedience, no. Mm-mm. Go ahead, let him keep on going. I got him. I show him. Either they going to get that lesson. They're going to come back hollering and crying towards me. I'll see when they cry in bed at night by themselves. Nobody else sees. You know, they put that face on out there in that public. But when they home by themselves, I see when they cry. And they ask me why I'm going through that. I see it all. And I quietly and softly let them know. That's because you're being defiant. You want to learn the hard way. I told you don't touch that stove, and you touched it anyway, so your hands got burned. I told you don't do that, and you did it anyway. I gave you tools to work it out, and you ain't want to use the tools. That's a loving father, family. So regardless of whatever message ever come out of his love, it's all about how much he loves us, how much he wants to make it into his kingdom. And he's fighting on our behalf, even though we being hard-headed and stiff-necked and defiant. And he's still fighting on our behalf. Let's go into this. I ain't going to read no more of that, family. Y'all can go and read some more on your own. Let's go into this DSM. And we're just going to read a little bit of the DSM. Just let those who may not was listening last week understand where we're going at. The Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Now, listen to that title, though. He did the last part of mental disorders. You know when Abba first made Adam? You know what he said? He didn't say it was good. He said it was functional. It was functional. That means it's working the way it's supposed to work, what I created. Now, man has mental disorders because of that first sin. Because of that very first sin, we have mental disorders. Now we are dysfunctional. We're not how he made us. We're dysfunctional. I know we don't want to hear that. Not when we look in the mirror and see ourselves. We don't want to hear that. You know, we big ourselves up. We top duty. 1 out of 10, we are 10 plus. And here he is, somebody going to come and say we dysfunctional. We mentally challenged. We are. We have mental disorders. We're going to go through some scriptures tonight. We're going to show you about man and his mental disorders. So that's what we'll be reading. You may be going through that for a little while because I believe that mind right. Regardless of whatever thing happens in our life, for a moment we have a choice. For a moment we have a choice. I don't care if that old demon, that devil whispers in your ears and he's there whispering it, and you have been so overwhelmed and you have been through so much. For a moment, choice. To say, depart from me, or get thee behind me, Satan. You have a moment. Either way, you're going to make a choice. You're either going to choose to listen to that voice, or you're going to choose to listen to Abiyah and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to tell you something. For the most part, we listen to Satan's voice. We listen to that voice, especially in the heat of the moment, especially when we're out there doing things that really feel good to our flesh. That really feel good to us. We'll talk about that when we get into demon possession. But I just want us to know, for a moment, we have a choice. Whether we're going to blow up or we're going to keep our calm. Most part, we listen to that other voice. The diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the 5th edition, Text Revised, features the most current text update literature with contributions from more than 200 subject matter experts. The revised vision includes a new diagnosis, prolonged grief disorder, which that's another disorder they add in, is a prolonged grief disorder, clarifying modifications of the criteria set for more than 70 disorders, listen to more than 70 disorders that these group of scientists came together and classified that could be within man. Not all 70, but it's 70 different ones that they have classified as a disorder that mankind can live with. Mankind can live with. And I'm going to stop right there. You can read the rest if you want, because that's not what we're going to get into tonight. And what we will be getting into is syndrome disorder. We will be getting into that. And I sat there today, because it took me a while to get this one, like a being foolish. That's the best I could say. I was just being foolish and kept having the thought and thought kept going away, but sitting there, first I thought it was as I was talking to Rabbi earlier, and he mentioned what did he mention? I got it right here in my notes. the thing for note. But I wrote it down. PTSD, post-traumatic stress depression, PTSD. And I say, ooh, because like you hear that voice and like, ooh, that's it right there. That's what we're going to be going through. But Abiyah said, no, put that off for a minute, not just yet. And I was sitting in the front of the hospital, and I hear that little voice say, Stockholm Syndrome. And I say, Stockholm Syndrome, Abiyah. Where are we going to get that? What is that? Go read it. Go read it and sit down and let me take you through my word and show you the disorders or the condition of man. Stockholm Syndrome. So I'm going to read the article on that, family. If you want, you can go and you can look that up too, Stockholm Syndrome. Or you can ask and I could send it out. And this is in the Britannica. I'm not going to read it all, so in your spare time, you can read it all. Stockholm Syndrome, psychological response wherein a captive begins to identify closely with his or her captive as well as with their agenda and demands. Think about that. Think about that. Read it again. Hear it. And put yourself in Abba's shoes. And then in our shoes. And then his adversary. Abba's adversary shoes. Hear all three at the same time. Stockholm Syndrome. Psychological response wherein a captive begin to identify closely with his or her captive as well as with their agenda and demands. Their agenda and demands. Think about that. Someone then captured you and had you and treated you in such a way, whether it's good or bad, that you begin to sympathize with your captor. You begin to identify with your captor. You begin to work with your captor. You begin to say, how can I help forward your agenda, your demand? Long prisoner. Amen. That's right. That's deep. Think about that, though. Prisoner. That you sympathize with your capture. Right. I'm going to read a little bit more. The name of the syndrome is derived from a botched bank robbery in Stockholm, Sweden. In August 1973, four employees of Service Kindred Bank, I'm going to tear that one up, were held hostage in the bank vault for 6 days. During the standoff, a seemingly egregious bond developed between captive and captive. One hostage during a telephone call with Prime Minister Palm stated that she fully trusted her captive but feared that she would die in a police assault on the building. We're gonna read this exact same thing. We're gonna read it. She captured, stays held hostage against her will, but eventually she starts to feel for them. Said, I trust my captive. That I used to repeat all the time. I believe it's in Proverbs 3:30 or Proverbs 33. It says, envy not. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember, but I know it says, envy not your oppressor and learn none of their ways. And we in Black History Month, which is, another story. We ain't gonna knock it. we will not. But they won't allow us to go back 400 years. So go around at these people today who have been captured, brought over here, stolen against their wills, beat under the harshest slavery the world. Can't get them to pull away from it. Not Stockholm Syndrome. Get them to pull away from it at all, to look and say, look, man, somebody stole you. Beat whatever it was in you out of you. If master's sick, I'm sick. That's not what we are talking about. But listen to what I just said. Someone stole you. Someone stole your birthright, Adam. Stole his birthright from him. These two stole all humanity. Birthright. Now, all humanity has been captured. Now, all humanity now furthering their captive agenda, their captive will. We don't escape that. We got to stock home sentence too, especially when we doubt, especially when we go backwards. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, Toda Aki. That was Proverbs 31. Proverbs 3:31 that envy not your oppressor. But listen to that. What happened to humanity? They were stolen. And why this article said six days. When the 6 day man was made, right? Was stolen. Now, but he went back, Yahushua, those who know, he stole that birthright back, stole it back. He took it back. He got it back. But we are so Stockholm Syndrome that we don't want to be free. We are so caught up in our ways in this world system. We are so a part of it. We are so ingrained in it. Free. We don't want the freedom of living in Abba's world. In this world, we can't let it go. Let me finish a little bit more now. I found out where I was. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me jump down a little bit. The most infamous example of Stockholm Syndrome may be that involving the kidnapped newspaper heresies. Patricia Hearst, in 1974, some 10 weeks after being taken hostage by the Liberation Army, kidnappers robbed a California bank, but it was during the hostage crisis in Iran that the Stockholm Syndrome worked way into the public imagination. Syndrome was also cited after the 85 hijacking of the TWA flight 747. Although passengers went a hostage ordeal more than 2 weeks upon their release, some were openly sympathetic to the demands of their kidnappers. Another example involved Westerners kidnapped by Islamic militants in Lebanon. Hostage Ty Anderson, held 1981, and Thomas Sutherland, 1985 to 1991, all claimed that they had been treated well by their captors, despite the fact that they had often been held in solitary confinement and in small and unclean cells. Similar response were exhibited by those hostages held at the Japanese embassy in Peru in 1996 to 97. Psychologists who have studied the syndrome believe that it was initially created when a captor threatens a captive's life deliberately, and then chooses not to kill the captive. The captive relief at the removal of the death threat is transponded into feeling of gratitude toward the captive for giving him or her life. As the Stockholm bank robbery incident proves, it takes only a few days for this bond to cement it, proving that early on, the victim's desire to survive trumps the urge to hate the person who creates the situation. Hold up. So if it only takes a few days for this to take place, boy, look at us. And not just look at us. Look at humanity. Look at humanity. Captives for 1,000 years. At humanity's mind right now. Captives. Have to understand how hard it is to bring someone out of darkness. How hard it is. That's why the scripture talks about when Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said he had to bring them up because they was down there for 400 years. Hard slavery. So was God. Elevate the minds of the people, no different than today. Their minds have to be elevated. But we want to fine-tune this thing to the believer and how we jump back and forth with Abba Yah. We ain't going to be on here long. We got a few more scriptures to get into. And we got two places where Abba Yah took me. Two places where he took me about this Stockholm syndrome. But the first thing that I said, Abba, how that gonna work? Well, this don't worry about it, son. I got you. I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you. Humanity has that. More so, my believers. More so, my believers. Let's go to Romans 6. That's enough of that right there. I just wanted to lay that thought in the understanding of what is Stockholm syndrome. Being empathetic and sympathetic to someone who captured you, someone who took you hostage against your will. Now, you get so that we don't just be empathetic or sympathetic to them, that we want to be on their side. We want to further their agenda. We will fight tooth and nail to those who are trying to free us or trust our captive, then we put the one who's trying to free us. We got to touch that. We got to hear that. We got to feel it. We have to see it. Condition, which is odd, right? It's odd. Odd. Oppositional, defiant disorder. I like that. Go to Abba Yah. Go to. You know what, family? I'm gonna be reading out a different version tonight. I'm gonna be reading out the CEV version tonight. I will be reading out of this one. Hold on now. Give me a minute, family. Allow trying to marvel my arm. The whole thing. How you going to turn on the app and the whole Bible app is blank? come on, the whole Bible app was blank. I'm looking for the words. I'm opening up the app, and it's blank. I go to chapter 6, and it's blank. That'll happen to anybody else. Time that ever happened. I didn't open up a whole lot of Bible apps, and nothing on the page. Blank. Phone made them buffering. My bad. I didn't even think about that. But Romans 6, and I'm going to just read until I hear stop. Just read. I just want to lay something down for it. Remember what we talking about, Stockholm Syndrome. But I like how this read. It's a very simple read, the CEV. If you got the little Bible app, the little brown Bible app, you can go to that and read it out of that. What should we say? Should we keep on sinning so that God's gift of undeserved grace will show up even better? No, we should not. If we are dead to sin, how can we go on sinning? Don't you know that all who share in Mashiach Yahushua by being baptized also share in his death? When we were baptized, we died and were buried with Mashiach, Messiah. We were baptized so we would live in a new life as Mashiach was raised to life by the glory of Yah, the Father. If we shared in Yahushua's death by being baptized, we will be raised to life with him. Know that person we used to be were nailed to the tree with Yahushua. This was done so our sinful bodies would no longer be slaves of sin. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. Because I in no way want anybody who hear me reading want you to think that as soon as you get baptized, that all your sins and all who you were way before that, all the Stockholm Syndrome, all the behaviors that you had just going all of a sudden go away. It's not. And if people is teaching it that way, they're doing the believer a disservice. Why do you think we go through these things over and over? Why do you think we are reading these things? And why? Because y'all know some of us down in us have been doing things for so long that we don't know. Do not know that thing to Abba Yah. We don't know that this behavior is not of Abba Yah. We don't understand that the fruit of the Spirit is not all working in us at now, right now. We don't understand that the works of the flesh to Abba Yah. So Abba Yah, through our lives, through life experience, have to show us these things. That's what we all got took that baptized, and we got baptized in the name of Yahushua, and when we came up, that started the process of you becoming like Yahushua. You didn't come up and you was, hey, I'm just like Yahushua. I ain't sinning no more. Not so. Not so. We must go through the process. We must go through the pruning process at that. What we going through? We still being pruned. We're still cleaning out the inside of the cup. The more we learn about ourselves, the more we learn about Abba Yah, the more we hear his word and understand the do's and the don'ts, and not just the do's and the don'ts, but the things that speak deep down to our soul. Because this is the diagnostic for man, the word of Yahweh. Disorders. This is it. This is the diagnostic statistical manual. The word of Yahweh. What we going to read from scientists, studied a little bit about man. Abba Yah word tell us everything about us. DSM. Word of Yahweh. It is for us. with our mental disorders, if we own up to them, though, if we allow Abba Yah to show us, one thing that's hard, we don't want to see us. We want to see the one that's in the mirror, that when we see and we put all this stuff on, we fix ourselves up. We don't want to see the mud that Abba Yah made. But we want to. We should want to. We want to see that new creature, that new person that's being raised up inside of you. That's a want for a believer, right? That's a want. The scripture talks about how a righteous man, he endures in chastisement. I'm paraphrasing again. When he's chastened, when he's purged, he endures that. He goes there. He loves that. Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, brother said. Abba said he loves those who he chastens. In other words, we have to purge. We can learn all the book verses and chapters all we want, but you haven't fully understood them until you apply them to every situation of your life. Again, the toolbox, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Three more scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10:1-5. We just build them till we get to that. Do you think, and again, I'm reading out of the CEV because I know yours might read a little different. Do you think I am a coward? This is Brother Paul. When I am with you and brave when I am far away? Well, I ask you, listen, because himself was humbled and gentle. Some people have said we act like of this world. So when I arrive, I expect I will have to be firm and forceful in what I say to them. Please don't make me treat you that way. Listen to how Brother Paul is he writing another letter to the Corinthians. And he asked him, y'all think I'm a sucker? Y'all think I'm a punk or something? What? Because I'm gentle? Coming down on you, I ain't hard on you. I ain't being the whoop to you. Think I'm that way? That way if you need me to act that way. Act that way. Be gentle towards you. I want to be humble towards you. That's odd, right? That's odd, ain't it? That we as human beings and people that's in authority, that we only can listen when they bring in that hammer on them. I mean, what is that? What is the abused person? Again, and I just said it, what it is. The abused person who only responds to abusiveness. And you take a lot of soft-spoken men. I mean, not soft-spoken as they, like my brother Paul is saying, am I a coward or something like that? No, a lot of soft-spoken men, right? And they try to be soft to their woman. What is with the woman that think that the man is soft because he's soft-spoken and he's not no rah-rah, I go upside your head if you ain't listening to me, man. I'd rather treat you as a woman and as a human being than have to go upside your head. She or he may have seen mommy go through that. And for all these years, mommy been taking it upside the head. Mommy and maybe in daddy who is the abuser, and daddy is abusing the mess out of mommy, but their child sees that. Another disorder, family. Child sees that abuse, but she never see mommy raise back up. See mommy leave, then affection is shown. Child grows up thinking, that's love. I need to be loved. I want to be loved like that. Saw mommy go up and get hit and do all that, and daddy was just an idiot. Very abusive to mommy. Mommy stayed in that. Every now and then I hear, I love him, in that abuse. And that cycle stops. So you get that, you end up, and you get a soft-spoken man who don't want to do that, don't want to be abusive to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Yahweh said, some people have adjusted to toxic relationships. And that's what you have. That's what we're talking about. They adjusted to it. They adjusted to it. So now if you don't come down with the hammer on her, you don't love her. But you're trying to say, baby, that's not love. Love at all. Your love is sick. Love is mentally challenged. What's your love? Oh, do I deserve your love? No, I don't want it. Male and female, because this man, female, is just as abusive. And if a man meeting a woman, it's maybe that woman who has a very abusive mouth. Disrespectful to her husband. Have adjusted to it, as the brother just said. Given this toxic life, relationship. Someone says, you're respectful. You don't put me in my place. And I do know some women like that who need to be put in their place or will say, I want you to put me in my place. Why I got to do that? Why that man or the woman got to be put in their place? Shouldn't it be automatically? But if that sickness that we're talking about, that human condition that we don't want to look at. It's normal. Because you know what? Everybody around me like that. So I'm looking at these out my eyes and my lens say, that's normal. That's normal behavior. The TV shows I watch is normal behavior. But Abba say it's not. Abba say you are dysfunctional. We are dysfunctional. But we function as we live in. Not in the righteous sense, in that sense, but as we are functioning in this world system. We have adapted to the sickness of this world. Stockholm syndrome, right? But somebody come and say, hey, I need you to come out of that. Come pull yourself away from that. That's not how you have to be. I don't have to be that way. I ain't got to go upside your head to show you I love you. No. You got to go upside my head to show me you love me. That's Stockholm syndrome. It's been passed down. And these generations, and it's cycles that we're in as human beings. Now, I don't know if everybody believes this, but I'm one who do not believe this. Don't tell me that high blood pressure is hereditary. To the doctors, when your mother got high blood pressure, your father got high blood pressure, anybody just got diabetes, that got diabetes, heart disease, and all this other stuff, they just start naming things. Because I don't believe that it's hereditary. I don't believe none of that is hereditary. That I believe mama, big mama had bad eating habits, ate all the pork she wanted, salt and everything, so big mama ended up with high blood pressure. What big mama did? She taught mommy how to cook. Took daddy, aunt, everybody how to cook, and that cycle kept going on in the family. Everybody eating bad. I believe that. That's hereditary. No, you ain't telling me that. If I change my eating habits and I don't live like that, somebody came in and said, you know what? I'm not going to just give my kids. They're going to give them sugar and everything they got. Yeah, they're going to learn how to eat fruits and all that and vegetables. They're not going to get a sweet every time. You're not going to get the Kool-Aid by your sister that tastes like syrup. And they're not going to get sugar in their spaghetti. I taste it. What that? Sugar in the spaghetti. We put sugar in our spaghetti. Eating sugar in the spaghetti. Over again. What's going to happen down the line? You look in that family. Everybody got diabetes. If somebody say, man, I don't want sugar in my spaghetti. Drink this syrup Kool-Aid. Eat candy all the time. Vegetables. Fruit. Give me some bitters. Cycle keep going in our lives. That's what we're going to get. People over and over. You know what runs in your family. So let me put you on these medicines. Let me give you so that I can, yes indeed. Let me give you this for that high blood pressure. Let me give you this for that sugar diabetes. You know what? If you just stop eating like that, you could break the cycle. If you just exercise a little bit more, you can break the cycle. It ain't something in your DNA that's passed down from this generation to that generation to this generation. It's in your behaviors. That's what's passed down from generation to generation to generation. You might want to break that Stockholm syndrome. You might want to be the one to break out of that. Where I stop most time? I'm at three. Well, I'm going to five. I'm still in 2 Corinthians 2. We live in this world, but we don't act like it. Fight with the weapons of this world. Instead, we use Elohim's power. Power that can destroy fortresses. We destroy arguments and every bit of pride that keeps from knowing. Yeah, we capture people that was going to speak now, family. Still in five. We capture people's thoughts and make them obey Yahushua. I like that last part, right? That's what I read in that story. We capture people's thoughts. And who Paul talking about? Paul talking about the Kohanim, the priest. Our job is not to jump on you and beat you up and bang, bang, and be this mean, old school to you. No, that's not our job. We trying to change your thinking through the Holy Spirit, power of Yahushua HaMashiach. We trying to get you to see a better way. Trying to break you away from that Stockholm syndrome. Numbers, family. I know y'all, we all familiar with this one right here. If your Ruach was running, you know we was going here before the night fell about Stockholm syndrome. Numbers 11. And we're going 1 through 10. Y'all wouldn't know. I know y'all know it. This is in Stockholm syndrome, right? It outright says it. One started complaining about their troubles. Yahweh heard them, became so angry that he destroyed the outer edges of their camp with fire. When the people begged Moses to help, he prayed, fire went out. They named the place Burning because in his anger, Yahweh had set their camp on fire. Amen? Amen. That's what we do, right? We Israel. We complain. Brought out of captivity. But we can watch this, though. Watch how our memories go back to captivity. We do that. Huh? We do that. Boy, if I wasn't serving you, Yahweh, my life would be so much better. Strict it when I got to serve you, when I got to live the way you want me to live. I can't live the way I want to live. Out there in that world, so much better. I didn't have all these problems when I was out there in that world. and gentlemen. That's all. I was able to do what I wanted to do. I didn't have to have you constantly in my mind. Before my face, I don't care what I do, you there. You wasn't there. I was doing what I wanted to do. I have guilt feeling. Free. Every now and then. We even go so far. It ain't worth serving you. Wrong with us. I got to drop that in there every now and then. Because that's the root of the problem. Oppositional defiant disorder. Oppositional defiant disorder. And why? We have Stockholm Syndrome. What we just talked about. All that stuff. I don't want to obey you. Because I obey you. Every now and then, I got this shame feeling. Every now and then, I got this lonely feeling. Every now and then, I don't even know sometimes where my life is going at because I obey you. If I didn't obey you, I might not have these feelings. I'm going to have them anyway. I may not be going through these things that I go through because I'm obeying you. I want to be strong. I want to be weak. Be a simp. That's what they call in the world, a simp, a weak man. You got no backbone for nothing. For nothing. One day, some foreigners, look at that. One day, some foreigners among the Israelites became greedy for food. And even the Israelites themselves began moaning. Don't have any meat. Egypt, now I wasn't serving you. Now I was back in the world. Now I was living how I wanted to live. I did what I want. Good all the time. Bogged down with this thing called obedience to you. Hey. Didn't have any meat. In Egypt.
My family, that rain went out on me. I didn't get that one. Do y'all hear me? That earpiece went out. I had to get that one. I got it.
In Egypt, we could eat all the fish we wanted. Well, I could eat all the pork chops when I was in the world. Crab cakes, how much I love crab cakes. Cakes, lobster. See, Israel today be talking about crab cakes. Israel today be talking about lobsters. Israel today be talking about a shrimp cheese steak. Thanks. I used to love my shrimp cheese steak, boy. I tell you, boy, I used to love it. Throw the hockey. They ain't with a shrimp cheese. And I ain't going to throw you out there, Brother Mario. That was our stuff right there, boy. I'm sorry, brother. But y'all already know. I'm going to throw you out there. We love shrimp cheese steak. Love them. Every week we get us one. Go right down there and you're the best one in the city that made shrimp cheese steak. But that's Israel, right? That no more. I'm serving you now. I can't get it. Well, you know what? When I was captive, I could do whatever I want in captivity, in slavery. Think about that. But the scripture says, the Egyptians worked them with hard bondage, with hard labor. Not about their bellies. Eat what they want, but they work 16-hour days. Come down. Hard.
class citizens. They was Negroes. Ah. Scum. Egyptians abhorred the Hebrews. Ain't no different than today. They don't abhor you, black man. And abhor you and hate you. Different foolishness in the world. We love it. We love being a part of it. It filled us. Now we feel unfulfilled. In the world, we feel unfulfilled. And Abba Yah is the one that filled the whole world. Gave us more purpose. Gave us more understanding. Gave us more freedom than anything. But now we got a nerve to say we feel unfulfilled. You know what, though, family? I didn't know why Abba Yah wanted to bring this out tonight. But we do, don't we? We do. And I was sitting thinking, I'm going by the ear. I'm just talking. I'm just opening my mouth and let them talk. But we do. We got Stockholm syndrome. Let me keep going. We didn't have any meat in Egypt. We could eat all the fish we wanted. And there were cucumbers, melons, all kinds of onions and garlic. Look at that. They thinking about salad. Yeah, they was in slavery. Right? It's not funny. But they thinking about that. We had Caesar salad. All types of salad. We had it all. And they were scrumptious. Fresh watermelon, fresh everything. Starving out here. The food we had is the manna. As in another place, he gave y'all angels food, and you are at that. You cried about angel food. I don't want this angel food. I don't want food from the heavens. When I was in slavery, I ate better. And gave them angel food. The scripture said food was such a delight. Body taste buds didn't taste it the same. I believe in the book of wisdom. And I ate a piece, it didn't taste the same. Say it tastes like chicken, you couldn't say it tastes like chicken. If it tastes like chicken to you, it tastes like hamburgers to me. Scripture says, body palate, it hit different. Think about that. But we want that world. The world. Abba fed Israel with angel food. Let me read this six again. But we're starving out here. Food is this manna. This manna. Ah, this manna. That's all we got. It's this manna. But what else? The manna point to. Hold up now. I'm still listening, y'all. What else the manna point to? Yahushua, right? The manna point to Yahushua. And look at Israel. They still disdain. They still don't want to eat Yahushua. They still have a disdain for him. Want to be Yahushua. I'm going to touch this one. How? My feet is, I ain't got no steel toes either, Sam.
I just can speak what it say. How are we feeling unfulfilled? Is the manna. What are we eating if we feel unfulfilled? And manna. What's the manna? Because if we ate it, we would never feel like we ain't fulfilled. Something's blocking the enjoyment of the heaven and the angels' food. We're holding on to something. Something blocking. How is that? When we know who Yahushua is. But we know spoiled. We spoiled. You feel unfulfilled. And you got me. You got me. You know who I am. My Father in heaven told you who I am, and you feel unfulfilled. You feel unfulfilled. Spoiled. And the world can't say that. Intimate conversation. Oh, you, I met you. Damn. Unfulfilled. You, my feelings like that. Pulling to you. Forgive my death. Give all of it. And we take you for granted. And we think that you're not worth it. And we say we feel unfulfilled. Give us. Give us. You're right. We are foolish at that. Last scripture of the Disney family, 7. The manna was like small with still seeds and tastes like something baked with sweet olive oil. It appeared at night with the dew. In the morning, the people who collected the manna grind and crushed it into thin boiled it and made it into thin wafers. One more chapter, family. One more chapter. I'm going to bash you. Genesis, for those who don't know. Genesis 19. You try to get through this. 1 through 29. And listen to this, family. Listen to this. Listen to the whole story. A Stockholm thing. Listen to it. Talking about the human condition, family. The human condition. Your order. That evening, and this is the story of when Yahweh is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That evening, while Lot was sitting near the city gate, the two angels arrived in Sodom. When Lot saw them, he got up and bowed down low and said, "Gentlemen, I am your servant. Please come to my home. You can wash your feet, spend the night, and be on your way in the morning." They told him, "No, we'll spend the night in the city square." But Lot kept insisting until they finally agreed and went home with him. He quickly baked some bread, cooked a meal, and they ate. Before Lot and his guests could go to bed, every man in Sodom, young and old, came and stood out his house. Where are your visitors? Send them out so we can have relations with them. Lot went outside and shut the door behind him. Then he said, "Friends, please don't do such a terrible thing. I have two daughters who have not had relations. I will bring them out and you can do what you want with them. But don't harm these men. They are guests in my home. Don't get in our way." The crowd answered, "You're a foreigner. What right do you have order us around? We'll do worse things to you than we're going to do to them." Now listen. These people are determined to do some very wicked. This is a wicked thing they want to do. They want to have relations with another man. And they telling Lot, "Look, you don't get out of the way, we're going to do worse to you." Wicked. The crowd kept arguing with Lot. Finally, they rushed toward the door, and in the scripture says, all the men in the to break it down. But the two angels in the house reached out and poured Lot safely inside. Then they struck blind everyone in the crowd, and no one could even find the door. See, they didn't even stop when they got blinded. When they struck with blindness, they're like, "Hold on, something ain't right. I can't see no more. I'm getting out of here." But these cats, they didn't stop. They're dropping them. The two angels said to Lot, "Yahweh has heard many terrible things about the people of Sodom, and he has sent us here to destroy the city and leave. Take every relative you have in the city, as well as the men your daughters are going to marry." Lot went to the men who were engaged to his daughters and said, "Hurry up and get out of here. Yahweh is going to destroy this city." But they thought he was joking, and they laughed at him. Early the next morning, the two angels tried to make Lot hurry and leave. They said, "Take your wife and your two daughters and get away from here as fast as you can. If you don't, every one of you will be killed when Yahweh destroys the city." At first, Lot just stood there. Listen to what happened. Angels is telling him, "Look, y'all, things about to happen. Yahweh about to destroy this whole city." Yeah, Lot stopped. He just stood and he couldn't move. That's us in these life situations. Abba's letting us know. He's letting us know. And we're just stopped. We can't move. Look into how Yahweh still loves us. Still loves us. 16 again. At first, Lot just stood there, but Yahweh wanted to save him. So the angels took Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. But Yahweh wanted to save him. He stood there. He couldn't move. I would do that for us all the time. What you think this lesson is about? In our hand, he wants to save us. Say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." So we not out there sinning. The doubt, the scripture says, is to sin. Eve's word. Sin. You can't just stop. As Brother Lot did. But even at times like this one, Yahweh just can grab you and pull you on because he loves you. He loves you. His wife and his two daughters by the hand and led them out of the city. When they were outside, one of the angels said, run for your life. Don't even look back. Keep moving forward. Don't look back. Don't do what our brothers just said when they were down in Egypt. Oppositional defiant disorder. That's what the brother Bruce asked what ODD stands for. Oppositional defiant disorder. Like our brothers just did when they came up out of Egypt. They looked back. They wanted that world. Telling us the same thing. Stop looking back. Stop stopping in the way. Keep moving. Keep moving. Run for your life. Even look back. And don't stop in the valley. Especially when you're down low. Especially when you're down. Don't stop. Do whatever you got to do. Said it like this. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. When he in the valley, we in that low place. He ain't sin. I know I'm walking through. I'm walking through. I'm not stopping. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I am not stopping. System. World system is the valley of the shadow of death. That's what it is. Run to the hill. Run to the hill. You have done us a great favor, sir. You have saved our lives. Don't make us go to the hills. That's too far away. The city will be destroyed before we can get there, and we will be killed when it happens. There's a town near here. It's only a small place, but my family and I will be safe if you let us go. All right, go there, he answered. I won't destroy the town, that town. Hurry, run, hide anything until you are safely there. I know y'all spirits is running with that. My spirit ran to what he said in Hazan, Revelation. He said, I can't be nothing until you are safely there. But in the book of Revelation, he says this about a seal. He said, look, don't hurt the earth. See, don't hurt the other people in it. Don't hurt the trees. Don't hurt everything until we have sealed the Almighty One in their forehead. And once you do that, destroy. Tell him, brother Allah, hey, I can't do nothing until y'all get safety. Where y'all going? Why? Because right now, y'all have put a seal on y'all. He have marked y'all, and y'all not a part of what that destruction is about to take place. Same thing he said in Revelation. Don't hurt nothing until you have sealed the people of the Almighty One in their forehead. Hurry, run. I can't do anything until you are safely there. The town was later called Zoar, because Lot had said it was small. The sun was coming up as Lot reached the Zoar, and Yahweh sent burning sulfur like rain on Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed those cities and everyone who lived in them, as well as their land and their trees and grass that grew. On the way, Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a block of salt. That same morning, Abraham got up and went to the place where he had stood and had spoken with Yahweh. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and saw smoke rising from all over the land. It was like a flaming furnace. When Yahweh destroyed the cities of the valley where Lot lived, he remembered his promise to Abraham and saved Lot terrible destruction. Amen. But we read it right over something. But we only read over something because we wanted to finish this off. But we're going to touch it. Scripture says, Lot's wife turned back. Stockholm Center. That vile place where she was living and where we are right now, this vile place, we like to turn back and look at it. The one that can set us free, putting more trust in this vile place and our captor. We rather put forth his agenda. We put forth the captive agenda when we turn back. Stockholm Syndrome. That's what it is. Turning back from Abba Yah, looking towards that world, believing or even having a thought that I was better off in the world serving God. Get those foolish thoughts far away from our minds. Those foolish thoughts. Okay, what we're going to do. And nothing in this world can compare to Abba Yah. And if you haven't felt that or understand that, I pray that you stay with him long enough so he'll show you. He'll prove to you that he is much better than this world. But even me in my own foolish thinking at times, think that I feel empty at times. When I have Yahushua in me, think that this world is against me at times, and where are you, Abba? You got to get me straight every now and then. Got to step on my toes. The end of my blog talk, family. Oh, 9:23. Let me screen, say the closing benediction, and we'll wait and see what Abba Yah have for us tomorrow. And I got to sit down and do it again. Look forward to Brother Harbell tomorrow. Yeah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to the young. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba Yah, we ask and pray that the word that went out tonight, that it take root in us, that you forgive us, Father, for our foolish thinking at times, that you forgive us, Father, for our doubt at times, Father. You forgive us, Father, for believing that the world is better than serving you. Forgive us, Father, for our foolish thinking. Forgive us, Father, for being weak at times. For falling prey to the adversary, Father, for not standing on your son, Yahushua, Father. Father, I ask for those who are, again, ailing in any way that you touch them, Father, whether male or female, Father, small, great, or whoever they are, Father, wherever they are, Father, you touch them and bring them up. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom, Abba Yah. Shall abide under the
shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. Oh, He shall cover you with feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of destruction that lays waste at noonday. A thousand may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. shall not.